Paul and Silas have been imprisoned in the jail in Philippi because of preaching the gospel. And as the evening wears on, they're singing hymns to encourage themselves, and they begin to pray. And about midnight, they're just having a wonderful time, praising the Lord and singing these hymns and praying to Him. And then in the middle of the night, the scripture tells us that there was a tremendous earthquake, and that prison was just shaken apart. The doors, the windows cracked open, and the prisoners really were free to flee. And the jailer came running up, and he was all perplexed and afraid, and he realized his own life was in danger. He was responsible for the safekeeping of those prisoners, and he was about to take his own life. He drew his sword, and he thought, well, there's no use. I may as well take my own life. And Paul stopped him, and he said, don't hurt yourself. Do yourself no harm. He said, we're all here. And then this man fell down before Paul and Silas, and he cried out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's a man who is in terrible earnestness, a desperate man, a man who's been at the point of suicide, and now says, what must I do to be saved? What would you have told him? Would you have told him, well, maybe you ought to join church, or you should try to live a better life? Practice the golden rule? It's still a question today that needs to be answered. And Paul and Silas gave him a true answer and a correct answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want to think especially with you of a couple of verses in Ephesians 2 that bring out this way of salvation. Such important verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works is the first thing that I'd like to notice about this verse. The scripture emphasizes the fact that it's not man's activity, it's not what you can do that will take care of sin. You're a sinner, and there's a helplessness and a hopelessness about your condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And even though you may try time and again to overcome sin in your life, you find you fail. You fail. You make certain resolutions. Maybe every year you have your list you make and you say, well, this year is going to be different. Things are going to be different in our home. And yet you know a sense of frustration and a sense of failure. And the Bible describes this as sin. You're not what you should be. You break God's laws. You haven't always told the truth. You haven't always lived the kind of life that you should. You've failed, oh, in so many ways. If you have any question about the fact that you're a sinner, all you need to do is take the Ten Commandments and be honest before God and realize it's not only the action, but it's the thought involved. The Lord Jesus said it's not only the act of adultery, it's looking on a woman to lust after her in your heart, to desire her in your heart. He says this is sin. And oh, how much sin there is in the world and in each one of our hearts. And so here, as we think of this, we realize that salvation is desperately needed because of our condition, because we're so helpless, so hopeless. We have failed, we have sinned. Now, I'd like to say this, that religious acts will not cover your sin. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm going to join the church. Now, it's fine to go to a place to hear the word of God, but going to church in itself will not save you. Joining church will never take care of your sin. Being baptized will not wash away your sin. Taking communion will not pay for your sin. Giving money to the church will never atone for your sin. This is not of works. In other words, your salvation, if you're going to be saved, is not going to involve basically what you do. All you've done is fail. You've been a sinner. You've broken God's law. And as we think of this, we realize how hopeless it is even to speak of reformation. If you could reform, If you could, from this moment on, never sin again, still what of the past? What of the past sins? God's going to make you answer for every sin. If you stand before Him in your sins, you will answer for every sin. Even if you could live a perfect life, from now on, what about the past? You've sinned. You failed. You need God to save you. And this is something that you cannot do yourself. If you do not come to know the salvation of God according to the Bible, your sin will drag you down to hell. And forever you'll pay for your sin. You'll be judged by God. Now we don't like to think of hell, do we, naturally speaking? And yet the Lord Jesus spoke of it, and He warned against this place of punishment for sin. And we too must mention it. Now the scripture says tells us how we are saved, and it says it's by grace. It's not from our works, but it's by God's grace. And the word grace here has the thought of unmerited favor, doesn't it? Something we don't deserve. We've sinned. We have no claims upon God. We've broken His laws. We've rebelled against Him. We haven't wanted to do His will. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his own way. We just left God out. We've said, God, leave us alone. Let me live my own life. But God loves us, and this is the wonder of His grace. What's the motive for His helping us, for His saving us? Because of how good we are? No. Because there's something in us that deserves this? No. It's because of what God is that He acts in this way, not because of what we are. We're sinners. We failed. We deserve nothing but judgment. If I received what I deserve now, I would be in hell. But by grace. And so here, just through this word, we have the very heart of God opened up, and it's a heart of love. We think of that wonderful, familiar verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a wonderful verse. God loved it. And this is the motive for His working out this plan of salvation for us. It's what He is, and He's a God who is love and who has a concern, a personal interest in you. Oh, I wish this would grip your heart, that God loves me, has a concern for me. Now, what has He done in order to make this salvation possible? Out of this heart of love, He's done something for you. He's given His Son. He sent the Lord Jesus into the world. And Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and grew up, lived a perfect life, and then went to the cross. And when He hung upon that cross in agony, bleeding, suffering, spit upon His face, crown of thorns on His head, people ridiculing Him, mocking Him, He was suffering for our sins. The scripture emphasizes this. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, He says in 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for you. Christ suffered for you. Christ paid for your sin. What a wonderful message. This substitutionary death. And this is perfectly satisfactory to God. As God looks at the work of Christ, He says it's enough. I need nothing more. I'm satisfied. He paid for your sin, and this is enough for me. And God, to prove this, raised Him from the dead. This is His stamp of approval upon the work of Christ, upon all that He's done. And when the Lord Jesus said on the cross, just before He died, with a shout of triumph, "It is finished," the work of paying for your sin was completely finished. And oh, that this would just grip your heart, and you would rejoice as you think about it. It is finished. He's paid for my sin, and that's enough. God is satisfied. Now, the scripture says it's through faith. But you say, how can I be saved? He died. He died for all. He died for me. But how can I be saved? And the Bible says, well, there's nothing you can do. But faith is not a work. It's not an activity. It's an attitude. I'd like to say also, it's not a feeling. Don't be thinking in terms of, do I feel saved? I wonder what kind of a feeling I'll get. The Bible does not speak of feelings, because your feelings can come and go. Maybe in the morning you won't be feeling too well. But your salvation does not depend at all upon how you feel. What is faith? Well, it's confidence, isn't it, in Christ's death. This is involved here. Do you believe Jesus died for you on the cross? Do you believe his sin, his death paid for your sin? Do you believe that this is enough? God says it is. Do you believe God? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Do you believe what God says here? And then there must come a real trust in God's word. You say, well, how can I know? How do I know this is true? You must believe the word of God. You must take God simply for what he says. God says he will save you. He says you're a sinner, but he says he'll save you. He says Christ died for you. He says Christ paid for your sin. He says, I'll forgive you your sin if you will receive the Lord Jesus. Now, will you believe God? Will you take God at his word? Will you just as a sinner say, well, Lord Jesus, I do receive you as my Savior, and I'm going to believe that when God says he'll forgive me, he'll pardon me, that this is enough. I'm going to trust God's word. I'm going to stand on God's word. Remember, the promise was given to Abraham as an old man, that he would father a son, that Sarah would have a son. And here he's an old man, up around 100 years of age. And yet it says this in Romans chapter 4, yet looking at the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but grew strong through faith, giving glory to God. And now listen to this. Being fully assured or persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham said, God, you said you'll give me a son. And I believe what you say you will do. And I know I'm going to have a son. Just absolute confidence in the word of God. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Will you believe God? God says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me, this is the Lord Jesus speaking in John 5:24, hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. He says, if you hear, if you believe, then you're saved. Oh, will you believe God? And will you, just as a sinner, receive the Lord Jesus and stand on his word and thank him for saving you? Because he's promised to do this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.